if there is one thing that we've seen tighten up is with the larger projects, sometimes you have to take a second look to say, is this good for my balance sheet and what's my syndication sources?
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everyone? You know the drill. Every Monday, we come at you with all things multifamily investing. And today, I got another great guest. But before I get into that, a little housekeeping. As you know, we don't really promote very much. There's no advertising. And the only way we get in front of more ears and eyes is by you, the listener. And we're on a mission to help more people get into this wonderful asset class and create passive income, generational wealth, so they can create the lives of their dreams. But the only way to do that is to obviously get in front of more people. And that's from you sharing this show with others that you think can also get value and leaving a rating and review, which also helps with the algorithm to get us in front of more people. So if you could take time, share it with a friend, family member, acquaintance, coworker, share it on your socials and leave a rating and review if you haven't, that would be much appreciated. But about the show, today I've got an individual named Mark Ritter. He works for MBFS. It is a credit union. They're actually a group or a network of credit unions across the country. He says they operate in about 50 states. And so they lend probably, he said, about up to 38 million deal size. They do, he said last year they did, or this year they're about to do about 600 million in commercial lending. And he said 80, 85% of that is in real estate. And they love multifamily because just the nature of it, right? Everyone needs a place to live. We're turning into a renter nation as the cost of everything goes up, and they just love the asset class. And so in this episode, he goes into, you know, obviously what is a credit union, how they differ a traditional bank and a traditional lender. And then we get into the kind of the state of the market, because I'm recording this on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2022. And the Fed is about to announce another rate hike. It hasn't come out yet, but the rumors are that's another 75 point hike. And so we get into kind of where the lending market is and where they see it going. So there's a lot of great information on the show, very timely episode. So please, please take a good listen to this. One of those ones where you really want to make sure you're listening. There's a lot of great stuff in this. So without further ado, here is Mark Ritter. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the conversation and hope to help your audience out a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. We just briefly spoke and I think we're going to have some good topics to talk about today, and especially about the current of the state of the market, which is, I'm sure, the top of most people's mind. But before we get into that, if you could just tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Sure. My name is Mark Ritter. I am the CEO of MBFS, which stands for Member Business Financial Services, but we always just call it MBFS. And I have been in the credit union business for 20 years, doing exclusively real estate investment financing and business commercial financing. That's all we do. And I spent 10 years at a large credit union in central Pennsylvania, and 10 years ago shifted to what's called a CUSO. And that's CUSO, Credit Union Service Organization. And essentially, we are a company owned by 13 credit unions, and we work with about 90 credit unions all over the country just to facilitate real estate investment financing for the credit unions. We provide loan origination, we provide back office support. We bring borrowers to credit unions and help them shop and navigate the environment. And really today, I love credit unions. It's a great source of financing, but it's quite an unknown commodity. 20 years ago when I started, it was virtually non-existent. And today it's infinitely bigger, but we're still the unknown kid out there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I've used credit union once on a student housing deal. But before that, I knew it was out there, but it was just something I never had pursued. But sometimes you can get the, obviously, if you do not agree, please say so. But from my experience, I feel like sometimes you can get the most competitive rates and terms in specific situations where maybe a national lender doesn't understand a smaller market, a niche market where the credit union does because they're there. and they understand that market. So they're willing to get more competitive on rates and terms. That's what I've experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. There are credit unions that are national broad-based lenders. Most of them are what I call regional lenders. And just like you said, if you have a deal in Scranton, Pennsylvania, the big guys may look and say, I don't want to lend in Scranton. But usually, almost every single market in America, there's a credit union in that area that wants to lend in that community at competitive rates because it's good for them, it's good for the borrowers, and it's good for business.
Yeah, definitely. They want to keep their community strong, so they definitely want to lend in it for sure. Kind of like a network or a group of credit unions across the country. So how does that work? Is it like, you're my guy, I come to you, but maybe the deal I have is not in your market, but you know another credit union in that market. Is that how you'd kind of facilitate that and work as a group, or am I completely off base there?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me roll back for a minute. And many people don't even know what a credit union is. So if I explain that, then it'll make it a little easier. Credit unions, they have all the same services. They look like a bank. They have ATMs and drive-through lanes and checking accounts and auto loans and commercial loans. But really what's different is underneath. What they are is a not-for-profit financial cooperative. So when they say, who owns a credit union? The answer is the members. The members elect the board of directors who oversees the credit union in the direction of the organization. So it's really that cooperative spirit is what I hope you found different when you talk to a credit union versus some other options.
Oh, definitely.
And one of the pieces of being a cooperative is other cooperatives work with other cooperatives, which is exactly the genesis for our organization. And I'll give you a good example. I'm here in suburban Philadelphia, but we have staff all over the country. If we have somebody who comes to us and is a member of a local credit union, but say their project is in Florida, or many people, somebody in Pittsburgh is buying a property at the Jersey Shore, but if they have a property in Florida, well, my local credit union probably lend within a few states, but we have lenders in another area who will we then just roll that over. And most credit unions too are, comparative to the bank world, relatively small institutions. There are some mega credit unions out there, but on average, they're what I would consider the presence of a community bank. So also what we do is really aggregate the credit unions together. So their lending capacity is many times greater than they could individually be.
For the listeners, what are some of the benefits of going with a credit union, maybe to do a commercial loan for a multifamily building versus going to your traditional bank or traditional lender?
Sure. And I don't want to be too altruistic about what we do. Money's money. And when we lend money, we expect to get it paid back and we look for creditworthy people.
Yep.
So I need your financials. I need your tax returns. I usually get rent rolls and all of those types of things that you would get for any other deal. What do we generally have more ability is to structure something that makes sense for you in your situation. And that's more of a conversational setting. We don't just simply take your numbers. It goes to that black box at headquarters and spits out a yes or no. It's much more of a conversation. So sometimes maybe a borrower may get frustrated because we want to meet you. And we want to walk the property and we want to learn who you are today, but more where you're going so we can build for the future. You know, most people like that. If that's what you're looking for, credit unions are a good option. If you just want widgets and transactions, you know, maybe it's a little bit slower than what, you know, just throwing it at a hole and getting out a rate and moving on. We really like relationships, but the terms tend to be pretty flexible too. And I'll give you a good example. No federal credit union can do a multifamily loan that has a prepayment penalty. So 2 years ago, when rates plummeted, we had people who wanted to do business with us and they either had to eat the prepayment penalty or just wait till they're reset. Now, in today's world, the last 2 years, who cares if you got your prepayment penalty at a 3% rate? Okay. You're not paying it off anytime soon for a better deal.
Right.
But in today's world, in a rising interest rate market, if rates shift again, if we, heaven forbid, have another pandemic and rates plummet, you're in a flexible condition for the future where you can refinance and renegotiate that to current market rates.
Yeah, and that's huge. I always stress that to people that first, you obviously need to know your business plan, but you also need to know your exit strategy, right? And what really comes in big on your exit strategy is your loan, right? Is fees and fees, yield maintenance, prepayment penalties, whatever you want to call it. That can really alter your exit strategy. So to me, that's one of the biggest pros of a credit union is that that's not there. But I'd love to get into, Mark, you just touched on it, like the state of our market right now. Like things have changed. If we had this conversation this time last year, we'd be talking about a completely different thing. You know, rates would have been sub 4, terms would have been great, everything would have been amazing, rainbows, sunshine, headed to the beach. But things are different now. And so we're about to hear this, we're recording this on the 2nd of November. We're about to hear the Fed's announcement of another, they haven't announced it yet, but you know, it's most likely going to be another 75 basis point hike. And I just want to get your thoughts on where we're at and where you think we're going.
Sure. And first of all, the big difference between a year ago and today to me is twofold. And I'll touch on the hidden one first. And the first one is financial institutions' liquidity position is severely diminishing. Severely. And I don't know about you, but when you go to the when I go to the grocery store and fill up my car with gas, it costs a lot more than it used to.
Yes. Yeah. $100 bag of groceries doesn't weigh that much anymore.
So what's happening is when institutions get deposits in, that money is rolling out as fast as it comes in and even greater than it comes in. So deposits have been very flat and declining. Now, loan demand is as strong as ever. Across the board, credit quality is very strong. Loan demand is very strong, and the loans are actually larger. Cars cost more, houses cost more, commercial real estate and multifamilies cost more. So it's really good to know who your lender is and where they get their money. A good example is credit unions are lending deposits. Typically, for every dollar of deposits in an institution, they're lending out about 85 to 90 cents in loans. So they have a lower cost of deposits and they're starting to pay more. Whereas an institution that's highly leveraged and is going out and borrowing money to then lend it to you, their costs are going to be significantly more and you're beholden to that secondary market. So you really have to know your lender and have an honest conversation with them. It's strange to say, I have to ask my bank what if they have money to lend me, but you have to ask that. Because yeah, we've seen tighter limitations, tighter restrictions, and the like. Now, on the interest rate side, that obviously is moving up quite a bit as well. And today, if you can get a deal that begins with a 6, consider it a good deal. It's kind of everywhere across the board. So we're seeing those numbers crunched. Now, here's the good news. Multifamily investing is still seen from a lender's perspective as some of the most desirable assets to lend into. People need a place to live. People need housing. It's more expensive, but that's going to be the first bills that they pay.
Yeah.
So your audience in the multifamily is very good, in a good position, because it's much different than some other discretionary industries that people, when bills are tight, they're going to pull back from some of those discretionary industries. Talking to you from my home today, because my office is empty and we haven't been there in quite some time and we're downsizing. So the office space is downsizing. Now, hotels have completely stunned me because they're booming across the board everywhere.
Yeah.
No matter what goes on, every hotel is doing great.
That and short-term rentals, I've heard in some areas they've slowed down, but for the most part, yeah, that it surprises me. still booming.
They've slowed down from astronomical growth, yeah, right. But it's still higher than it was a few years ago.
Right.
So that multifamily is really seen as the tried and true from a lender standpoint. And when we're talking with our credit union partners about financing, multifamily is still at the top of the list.
Well, that's always great to hear. Being a multifamily investor, from a credit union perspective, have you seen LTVs, loan to values, go down? So I know we've seen it from an agency standpoint, CMBS, LTVs have dropped for those type of lenders.
We have not seen it in the credit union space. And it's more for, once again, the structure of our balance sheets that we lend off of compared to some of the agency lenders out there. We have seen those. If anything, if there is one thing that we've seen tighten up is with the larger projects. Sometimes you have to take a second look to say, is this good for my balance sheet and what's my syndication sources? Because if we have $30 million to allocate to commercial loans this month and you make a $30 million loan, that chews up all of your money and you're telling a lot of people no. And people are trying to make sure they have can split that around to as many projects as possible.
Okay, that makes sense. To go back to that point too, it seems the fact that the credit union is lending out its own deposits is kind of its strength, because to your point, some institutions have or are going to have liquidity issues. And if you wouldn't mind just diving in the market, if liquidity issues come like a real issue for banks and lenders, what type of things could we see?
So the good news is in the Great Recession, those were my best years for lending because credit unions' balance sheet were positioned so well to continue lending. So that was really good. Now, if this happens across the board, there are backstops for lenders, for even your community banks and credit unions. The Federal Home Loan Bank is a tremendous source of liquidity for lenders, as well as what we call our corporate credit unions as a source for lending. But really, the most common source today is for simply what we have seen is just they've turned on the spigot for deposit rates. And that has been the most reliable source. And really, the good news is the margins as wide as they've ever been. If you see a special today or your cost of money, well, that's 3.5%. And that's a pretty strong rate to put your money in for a federally insured financial institution. Well, heck, they're lending it out at 6.5% in many cases. Those are pretty wide margins.
Yeah.
And also remember, they have a massive base of checking accounts and savings accounts, they're still paying virtually zero on. So the industry's cost of funds today is just slightly over 50 basis points. Heck, if you're lending out money, your portfolio costs 50 basis points, let's say it goes up to 75 as a whole institution, you're pushing out 6%+ paper. That's a good business to be in.
That's why you want to be the bank for sure. And so where do you kind of see things going forward? As I mentioned, a rate hike's probably going to be announced today and possibly in December. And then who knows what's going to happen next year. Where do you kind of see the stability of the market from a lender's perspective going into 2023?
Yeah, we think we're going to see that continued higher rate environment, probably plateauing in the first quarter. And now the downside of that is inflation is going to continue to slide down. Why is inflation going to continue to slide? Well, they measure it year over year. So we've had these astronomically high inflationary pieces. You're going to judge July to July. Okay, that's going to slow down. The problem is the costs have gone, the actual costs are going to be continue to skyrocket next year. So everybody's costs, everybody's expenses are going to go up and rates are going to, but interest rates will flatten out. To be able to lend in the mid sixes is a pretty stable and financially viable institution for people. Now, the expenses are where we get concerned about when you have to renovate a property. Can you get labor to do it? I haven't seen a project come in under budget for renovations and maintenance for quite some time, for heating, for air, for management. We really think that it's people's houses, it's student housing. These are the priority bills. So you're going to see that peak. and the credit quality will continue to be good. But we think overall, it's going to be a little bit rougher year for the economy in terms of discretionary expenses is where we get most concerned for next year.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because my next question was going to be, because you mentioned expenses going up, and that's not just from a property level, but consumer level too. Everyone's bills are going up. So when you're underwriting, say a loan on a multifamily property or a student housing property, are you underwriting at maybe a higher economic vacancy or delinquency than you normally would going forward?
We don't think delinquency. We think there's an inherent problem with supply in this country. Mm-hmm. So we really don't see vacancy going up. Where we've been shocking pieces a little bit more is in interest rate. What happens if the rates go up, but also what happens if those operating expenses go up as well, which is we're shocking these a little bit tighter because we're seeing people with what we think are low projections. So we want to make sure there's plenty of room. But the one piece that we just don't see is, other than some really lower end properties that have some inherent issues, we're not seeing vacancy. And that's the piece that's there. Even we think the stabilization and some of the pandemic shifts out of major metro areas has softened a lot. And you see people coming back, you see companies wanting more of a hybrid purpose. And let's face it, the people from Boston that moved to New Hampshire out in the country, they say, you know what, I kind of like being close to Newberry Street and things a little bit more. So,
Mark, I feel like you're talking to me. I know, it's true, though.
Yes. People have decided they don't need that much fresh air out into the country and they like being closer to the cities.
Yeah, they've had enough fresh air for the last 2 years. That's a very good point and interesting, too, because the demand for housing is crazy, which consequently has led to high rent growth across the country, which then some people question, well, where's the tipping point where the average person can't afford where that rent's going? But to your point, I think it's also Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Housing is one of the major ones where you're going to pay for that first because you want to keep roof over your head. So I concur on that. We've been stress testing most of our deals from, like you said, interest rate perspective, especially on the exit. Like if we needed to do a refi, where's that going to be? Obviously a cap rate. We've been stress testing that because we don't know where it's going to be if we need to exit or refi. And then from an expense standpoint, and then also rent growth, I'm still seeing some people make crazy assumptions with rent growth, and you're just not smart to do that in this type of environment. Now, may it happen? Of course, but you shouldn't be basing your business plan or your outcome on that. And so that's kind of where we've been stress testing our opportunities.
Yeah, probably the most risk for somebody like me is in something like a new construction project. Even though there might be plenty of demand in a marketplace, getting it built for a cost point, well, first of all, finding people and contractors to get it built is quite frustrating.
Yes.
And then getting it built and making sure there's no supply chain issues, you're getting it built at the cost you need, and then turning that new construction into profit is really where there's the slightest of margins and the least room for error in today's world.
It's funny you say that. I was reading an article that was talking about MAA, one of the second largest multifamily owner in the country. And they were saying, I think they own around like 100,000 units or something like that. And over the last 2 years, they actually didn't acquire any new existing multifamily. So since 2019, and all they did was development. And now, because the spread in yields between the two was just not there, right? So, but now they're reversing and going back towards acquisition and pulling back on construction, I think, for the reasons you just mentioned. So it's interesting you brought that up. So you guys do lend on construction as well.
That's probably our tightest lending product is that construction piece. But we've done it on some limited scenarios. Really, to build a multifamily today, a lot of times we're seeing it's very difficult to build a 10-unit ground-up complex. You're seeing it built into a 200-unit complex. And that's really almost where you're getting into more, as you said, some of the agency deals, the Wall Street money, where you could live on much tighter margins than your community bank or credit union.
Okay, that makes sense. That's great. I guess who is your avatar in terms of type of investor you're looking for and love to work with?
Sure. At MBFS this year, we'll do about $600 million in commercial loans, and about 85% of that is real estate investors, with a large chunk of that being real estate multifamily investments. And in the because we deal with 90 credit unions, we're not a single institution that says, I like to deal with this person. Mm-hmm. We have people and institutions that deal with people who have the full-time job where they're getting into a couple units of first that entryway into passive income. And we have the whole length up to, I have a job, but I have several units, to I'm in the business of multifamily. Our biggest deal this year was about $38 million, to give you an idea of the range that we go up to. So that's what's nice with us, is if I went to a bank, they'd probably fire me in a week, because it's not that we just, hey, here's what we lend, this is what we like, you're either in or out of the box. We have a range of people. And at the end of the day, they're really looking for that relationship, which is that twist of a little bit more, as opposed to just selling a unit or selling a loan. So really, we work with the smallest of the smalls. I'm getting into this. I have short-term rentals. I have some student housing units. To you're a full-time industry professional going out, and we're competing with the life companies.
Awesome. Are there certain markets that you prefer or shine in? And then also there are markets that you shy away from.
We have resources in 50 states. Okay. And we'll go to it. And as I mentioned, like, I'm here in Philadelphia. We're lending in Philadelphia, New York, Tampa, Charlotte, you know, all the big major ones. But I also have investors and credit unions in the smallest of industrial Rust Belt towns there is. Once again, that's what's nice about us and how we do things, is that we can cover a pretty big swath.
Okay. All right. You looking at above New York, like in Massachusetts, New Hampshire?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. And obviously the Southeast, we're in the Southeast and up in New Hampshire too.
Unfortunately, I say the U-Hauls only move one way, and that is north to that is U-Hauls only move one way, and that's north to south. So we have a lot of business and credit unions in the Southeast.
Yep. And that's why we're there too. Follow the U-Hauls. All right, Mark. Well, is there anything that I haven't touched on that you'd like to talk about in terms of what you do?
No, really. I like to think that we're the people of that idealistic institution that you say you want a relationship with. There's 5,000 credit unions in the country. Not every single one of them is doing apartment financing and student housing, but a large percentage of them are. So think of us as an aggregator for the credit union industry, where you can come to us and we help steer you with credit unions that are good options for you. And if we don't have somebody directly in your marketplace, what we do for people is we have relationships with other companies and credit unions just like us throughout the country, where we'll help match you up.
Okay, right. And a question I always like to ask is, how do you prefer to work with, like, an investor like me? If I was to come to you, like, think of your favorite investor that is just easy to work with. Like, how does that person operate?
Yeah, we really like people that know their business and know their numbers and can keep that organized. But also, we want that person to talk and understand what's your vision and where you want to go. Because the first loan is the hardest.
Yeah.
So we're really looking for that multi-transaction relationship where we can help you grow and you can help us grow.
I like it. And that's what this business is about too. It just comes down to relationships and being completely transparent on where you want to go. Because guys, just think about it. If I go to Mark and show him a deal and just say, hey, give me your best terms. Well, what he thinks are his best terms might not be the best terms for the outcome I'm trying to get, right? So I need to be completely transparent, let him know, hey, I've got this property I want to renovate in 2 to 3 years. Refinance some money out and then hold for the long term. You know, that's probably a completely different type of product you'd give me than if I just said, hey, yeah, I just want to buy this and get a good interest rate. What can you do for me? It's about giving him all the details, sharing the vision, not only of this deal, but also future deals. That's what I've learned. When I first started out, I was the latter of those two scenarios. I would just say, give me your best rate and terms, which doesn't really mean anything to the lender if they don't understand your goal. But Mark, I usually have two questions that I ask at the end. But before I do that, before I forget, where can the listeners find you?
Sure. The easiest place is my website, markritter.com, M-A-R-K, RITTER.com. You can connect me with there, and that's, you can connect with all our businesses that we have from that, and we'll get you moving with a credit union where I'm also very active on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, Mark, the two questions I ask at the end, and one you kind of already answered, but if you want to shed a little more light, please do so. And that first one is, why do you believe, I guess from the angle of a lender, I should word it as, why do lenders love multifamily as an asset class to lend on?
Sure. I'm a believer because people need somewhere to live, and it's good to help build communities, and it's a very stable product that we all need. And I also believe the rental unit concept will be where America is heading versus I have to own a home.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Second question. If you had a time machine and you could go back to younger Mark and give him one piece of financial advice, what would that be?
I would look at 18-year-old self and say, take more risk in life. And if you never fail, you're missing out on many, many opportunities because you have plenty of time to clean it up. Now, 50-year-old Mark should not be doing that. But 18-year-old Mark, try things, do things that work, do things that fail. And if it doesn't work out, so what? You move on to the next thing.
I love it, Mark. That's great advice. And advice that I wish I had told my 18-year-old self too. But hey, you live and you learn.
Absolutely.
Mark, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
And listeners, as you all know, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can all create that life of our dreams. All right, everybody, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's a little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.